This is Noah Schechter, writer of episode 1012, and you're listening to what I can only imagine will be the final season of The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
I don't drink often, but when I do, a nice red is the way to go. Welcome to this week's award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings, one and all. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
I drink plenty, but I mean, let's all admit, we drink a nice glass of Dembe if we could. And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. That's all I want to say. We could all fall for Dembe. Don't lie. Thanks for joining us yet again on the final season of The Blacklist for number 198, Dr. Michael Abani, written by Noah Schechter and directed by the one and only Andrew McCarthy. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. Gotta say, I think Andrew McCarthy is one of my favorite directors of the show.
Yeah, it definitely had his touch, especially the car chase scene with the camera underneath the car. I thought that was a cool different angle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. You never know like what gravel gets kicked up and all that stuff. I'm actually, Aaron and I are going on a cruise and we're going to St. Martin, which has Mahou Beach, which is right by the airport.
I'm waiting for this connection.
And the amount of gravel and stuff that gets kicked up by the airplanes when they take off. Like, I've seen some of the videos and I'm like, why do people want to go to this beach? And I'm like, because we saw Pushington. It was amazing.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I have no desire to go to that whatsoever. It just sounds like, let's just sit on the beach and get wind thrown in our face.
I'm there to get the picture of the plane landing and then run away.
I just don't get it. I would stand there like a mannequin. Yeah. Full circle. All right. Well, let's get into this episode.
All right. If you're new to the podcast, we basically go through some house cleaning from last week with our profiling question of the week. Then we get into this week's case profile before hearing from all of you, the fans, on what you thought of Dr. Michael Abani, whether you should have been a blacklister or not on this week's show in our special agent intel. But we wanted to know from the many of you what your favorite Quickie Mart gas station snacks were.
Douglas Baumgartner says Lance movie theater butter popcorn. I don't know about Lance movie theater, but I am always on board movie popcorn. Always.
The big one, obviously, is Icy's, especially Kimberly, who wants a large blue Icy. Just don't waste the juice.
Becky Trumbo says, as a kid, it was clearly Canadian. It was maybe the coolest thing ever. Now I like those little pickle snack packs because adults are weird. No, Becky. Just Becky's are weird. That's just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We got some
people like what they like.
Fringe fans. Kim says that she likes red vines. Not Twizzlers, red vines. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Red vines are better. Twizzlers are just basically like, I don't know, rubber. Just rubber chewy toys.
And red vines can double.
They're dog toys. Yeah. That's what they are.
Yeah. And red vines can double as a straw.
They can. It's magic. Used it many times. It's delicious. It's
delicious.
Too. Delicious.
Coke coming up through there. Mmm. So good.
Nom, 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 nom. Nacho with cheese and a large blue Icy.
Got some pretzels and some combos. I wasn't a big combos fan. Those seemed
a lot of snacks. A lot of donuts and coffee. Yeah, that's true. A lot of Quickie Marts these days have donuts and coffee.
A lot of Quickie Marts these days have like, have you ever been to Buc-ee's? Buc-ee's has like a full like deli section of just beef jerky.
Here's my favorite, Gary Jordan. Doritos, except when I'm constipated. Then I get a hot dog off the roller grill. That's amazing.
Is that wrong?
Can I tell you what? Camping with a mutual friend of ours, you know him, but I don't want to name him on here in case he were to answer this.
Sure.
But he's a little guy and he likes to eat, and he had like two breakfasts before we left the cabin to come home, and then we stop at a gas station and he has to get a hot dog and it smells like absolute trash. I mean, it's, I don't know how you
can eat
that.
Lingers in the car, right?
Oh, yes. And he brings it to the car. So the whole car smells like this rotten, he swears it was good. It smelled rotten. This rotten hot dog for at least an hour or two. We're driving with the windows down. It's cold, but I can't get rid of the stupid smell. Ugh.
That's so nasty.
It's so nasty.
Well, what's our question for next week, Aaron?
I forgot. I don't remember. Oh, if you were in Dembe's shoes, would you choose your best friend over your partner? Oh, shit.
I mean, literally, that's he chose red over. Oh, yeah. How'd you pronounce her name?
Aisa.
Aisa. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Aisa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did. Some bitch.
Oh, well, we'll find out.
Now, is it the friend or the money or the power? Yeah, he pretty much framed it like it was his friend because he owed him because he saved his life. He
saved his life, yeah. And he was living with Red at the time. So since he was
14. I'm pretty sure Aisha put him up. You know what I'm saying? They look pretty happy.
We would have to find out what the fans think. But before that, we just got to get this thing moving because if someone opens up a bank account in our name, we didn't fund the terrorists. So let's get into this week's case profile.
All right, we open outside of Taiz, Yemen. War-torn, a doctor is tending to a patient while Michael and a woman debate over a cottage. Random woman? We'll find out soon. Before they start talking about their wedding. Aww. And turns out he's going to be stuck for another 6 months because this guy just wants to save the world. Then armed men kidnap him and claim he's a terrorist. Oh my God. Well, then we switch to a young man at a bar who gets his backpack switched out while Aisa gives Dembe his number. Turns out this is young Dembe. And bam, we're back to the present. And it turns out Aisa is the woman that is getting married to Michael. So now you see the connection. This is Isabella's mother. This is Dembe's former love. This is the Dembe story. And my question to you before we go any further is, as we have talked about, last week, literally, with the man in the hat, there's a longstanding rule that no numbers are personal stories. And now we've got a number attached to this guy, which I'm sure they're just trying to fill those numbers in. But really, this is not a number that has any relevance to Red Reddington much at all. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see where this one would probably fall more into a no numbered type episode because of the backstory component to it. But we've gotten ones like that before, like with Samar and the backstory on her brother, those had numbers. So I think the backstory episodes without a number are typically more designed for Red's backstory. In this case, the blacklist numbers to me have always meant that Red gets something out of the arrangement, or it's something close to Red, you know, in the case of Liz being, you know, up at the top. This one in particular, I think, is interesting because Red does actually get a, what do you want to call it, a contract, a deal worked out with the prince, the king, the governor, the general.
I don't know if he really got much of a deal. I mean, he's offering half cost, so he's probably losing some money here.
Yeah, but he's going to get future business out of it, too.
Maybe.
You know.
Sure. But I feel like we're stretching to make this work, but okay, go ahead.
But he does get something out of it, and it's specifically this. You know, saving Michael was actually to help Dembe in the long run. So it's Red doing Dembe a favor because they're friends. So it's important to Dembe. It's important to Red in that regard. So I feel like it fits the formula, but it's loose.
I mean, that said, you know, I don't think it fits the formula at all. And I don't think Michael Abani should be getting a number at all. Like, I just don't. The guy's a hero as far as I'm concerned. I got to say, I really like this episode.
Yeah, the episode is awesome. Love it as a standalone.
Very, very sweet. You know, there's still some chatter about people are saying, when is the end game coming up? Like, are we going to see a real end game here because we took Wu Jing off the table? I think that's a valid concern. We've seen a lot littler of Red this season than probably any season before it. Almost like I'm maybe James has the weekend, the month off. I don't know. He's on a nice little ski vacation or something. But I imagine we're starting to ramp up toward the final reel because that is coming up. And we should say, like, there's nothing guaranteed, but I am hearing a lot of scuttle that it's not going to be separated to the fall, that we're actually going to run through summer. So it will probably end sometime in July by my estimation.
Correct. And I think that we might be getting the starts of that end game, right, with the exploration of this congressman into the task force.
Very much could be. And it makes sense. It does make sense. I feel like we're making progress for sure. And you get a little bit more on why Red has been living as a nomad or like living his life like Kane and Kung Fu for the last you know, half season. All right, back to the episode at hand. Wrestler's contacts show Michael is being held in a Yemeni's military prison. They're planning on executing him in 72 hours. John Rapinski ran the organization. There was some smuggling going on. This leads to Abdul Hassa and Abul Salah. So, you know, there's a little bit of not really blacklisty stuff going on. It's more like Dembe is trying to research this to try to figure out exactly what's going on. I feel like it was pretty obvious that if it's not Michael that's involved, then it's got to be this John guy, because he's the only, it's kind of like Law and Order. He's the only other guy that was shown to be in the vicinity of this whole investigation. So it's got to be him.
Exactly. If it's not this guy, it's the head of the NGO. One or the other.
Yep. Got to be. Turns out there's wire transfers of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So they thought Michael was up to something. Aissa was with Michael in Cyprus on October 28th, so he couldn't be the culprit because there was a live meeting at that time. You know, the government is trying to say, the other government, the Yemenese military government, is trying to say that, well, he could have sent someone, he could have sent a delegate for this meeting. And it turns out that someone else has access to the account, and that's this John Rubinsky, who was there at the time and the time before that. And now he's leaving the country. And of course, our lovely Aissa is confronting him. Rut-row.
Yeah, she makes that case around the room, right? She's like, oh, hey, you got a suitcase. Where are you going?
Yeah, she's been through this before. She's not going to be fooled again. Not going to do it. She's a smart woman.
And John, like, doesn't seem like the criminal type, but man, he's like choking her out. Like, why are you trying to kill her? Like,
I mean, he really seemed like a Weasley coward there for the whole time he's explaining everything. And then he just panics and decides to try to choke her, which... Dum-dum. Maybe you could have got some sympathy or some empathy from us and Red, but you lost it there.
And he got lucky, too, because if Red would have came in and just shot him instead of actually kidnapping him.
Yep.
I want to know who the muscle was for Red to get him off of Aisha, though, because it's not like Red's grabbing him.
It's got to be that other guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Chuck or somebody. Or
yeah, it's got to be Chuck. Well, he admits to doing this, paying bribes, making a few bucks as well. But John did seem regretful until he started choking Dembe's ex-girlfriend. It's not cool. So she says she got some help from a friend, and Raymond took John and traded him for Michael. So what do you think? This is the overall story arc. We're going to get into the actual love story here shortly, but it's kind of a really simple construct this week.
Simple, but yet interesting, because it gives you enough of the backstory information on the relationship between Dembe, where Isabella comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a little bit into the backstory too between Dembe and Red about how Dembe was super loyal to Red and chose Red over Aissa. So I like, this is the kind of like backstory stuff we could do, you know, post 1994 to Red joining the task force, you know, just to learn a little bit more about the relationship between Dembe and Red. We can learn a little bit more about Wrestler chasing Red. We can do some of these stories now because the mythology seems to be completely null and void, and just kind of give us some color as to the history and how Red used to operate and why these people are technically the people in his life today.
Yeah. It's where people are still fighting about that whole mythology thing. You can start a fight on the internet really quick if you really wanted to. All you gotta do is go in there and say you think one thing, and bam. I don't care which way you think that thing is. The other side of that thing is going to start arguing. It's like politics.
Yeah, I think I made a comment on one of the posts, and I basically said something to the effect of, if the show is not actually talking about it actively, then neither should we. Because
the show doesn't talk about it at all.
Yeah. There's been not a single focus as to Red's identity, and the only other thing that they've actually done is done more mother-child stories.
Mm-hmm.
Than anything over the last two seasons.
Sorry, guys. I mean,
even this one was a mother-child story, right? Aisa's a mother.
A couple people on the show, including the creator and Amir, have said it's answered in 821 and 822.
Right.
You make your own interpretation from that, knock yourself out, but that's what they said. And the show has felt led by that. Now,
and Christine Gee's Instagram account, which kind of basically gave it completely away. And then the comments were mysteriously turned off from that post.
Because they went ugly. They went ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, I don't know if you want to say that or you want to wait until the end. I don't know. She confirmed it, though.
Yeah, basically.
But I feel like it's already been confirmed. But you know what? Let's get back to the love story. So at the end of the episode, let's move into characters. Let's go to characters.
All right. We'll do music first because there actually was a song this week.
What?
It was at the end of the episode when Dembe's helping close the suitcase. And then Pops talks to Agnes. We hear Bless Me by Moses Sumney. And you can hear that and all the great music over on the playlist, both Apple and Spotify. You can get those links on our website at theblacklistexposed.com.
All right. Now let's go into characters. Like I tell you, we didn't see Panna Baker, but we heard a lot about her this week. We'll come back to her. Herbie, Sia contributed really nothing this week.
Oh, so but Sia had the best line this week.
Which was?
She's like, oh, I'm just relegated to staying here looking at the screens.
Justifying her
non-involvement in the show.
Yeah, that's too bad. I would like to see her do more stuff.
I laughed so hard. I was just like, well, there's a break of the fourth wall if I ever saw one.
Dembe, he got a book on debt, the first 5,000 years, which it looks like that's the gift he got for Isabel, right? At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get a lot of backstory on Dembe. He's always been a snappy dresser. That's obvious. Because he's got designer clothes even then. But his love story was very, very sweet. You must never lie to me. Jeez, you already know that where that's going when that happens, right?
Right.
And then Dembe comes in one night and Aisa realizes that Raymond is a criminal. So what'd you think overall of this love story? I mean, this is a moment in Dembe's life we haven't had before. And it kind of explains the daughter situation because we've kind of had that conversation years ago. How does he have a daughter like with this lifestyle because you've never seen him with anyone, da 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 da.
Yeah, and you didn't know if they were estranged or together at the time when Solomon came into the picture back in season 3. And I think what's even more interesting about this relationship is the fact that they met while Dembe was actually doing a job for Red at that moment, because he kept coming into the bar and sitting at the bar. But it was always to exchange information with somebody at the bar, as you saw with the backpack switch. So had Red not been in his life, then Aisa wouldn't have been in his life. And then if Red hadn't been in his life, he might have actually been with Aisa at the end of the day.
Catch 22. That's what that is.
That's what that is.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very beautiful. It was nice to see that story. You know, it's weird that I would be so into a love story in The Blacklist, but I really like this one. I thought it was very well done. Both the young actors did a great job, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a real chemistry. Both pairs of these two had a wonderful chemistry. So I really liked seeing that unfold and hearing the story and seeing him have to walk away from his daughter and never even hold her because he was too worried about what that could lead to. It was a beautiful story, I thought. Sad, but beautiful.
Did you want him to kiss when they were over the suitcase at the end of the episode?
No. Nope. I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. I think she's moved on. Her life has moved on. And he's a good man. Like that Michael was a good man. He was out there trying to save lives. I mean, I don't think Dembe should wreck that.
No. I think
she should wreck that by getting back with Dembe. Not that there's anything wrong. They would have been probably happy together.
That's a good move on Noah's part, because I think that is not Dembe's character. So if Dembe would have leaned in first, I think that would have destroyed Dembe's character because of who he is, and then knowing that she was who she was because of the lying and the being forthcoming and being very much able to hold her own, especially raising a daughter on her own, that, you know, if she would have leaned in, it would have actually ruined her character that we've come to know throughout the course of the episode. So I would think it was a great move for them not to kiss.
And one thing I will say, since you bring up his character, you know, I give a lot of grief to the idea that Dembe switches from Red to the FBI, and I hold to that. It's ridiculous. But on the same token, character-wise, it does fit his character more. So I had never have a problem with his honorable choices, because it always struck me as an interesting dichotomy that he's in this criminal world, but he has this very, very strict code.
Yes.
And now he gets to apply it to the real world, and he's very honorable now. He's the man she always wanted him to be.
Agree.
Yeah. Let's see. He was the most important person to me. This is Dembe talking about Red until I met you. And then he lied to her, and now she needs to go, apparently, but she doesn't. And when she returns, he finally meets Isabella. And Aisa does not want that life. So there is the option that she could have went with him, and she chose not to. She goes to America without him. This is a tough, tough person. And you can tell he's always wanted her, and Raymond would have understood if he didn't show up. He and Dembe and Red actually have that conversation. So it's acknowledged that Dembe made this choice. It wasn't Red forcing him into that. Red would have understood if he wanted to pursue that life, especially with the daughter component.
But also, hindsight's 20/20. Red says he understands now, but would he have actually understood back then?
Yes. Like I said, once again, like you said, actually, once again, there's a mother, there's a daughter component.
Right.
There's a very distinct nod to, this is the best thing for my daughter.
Yeah, and that's why Red understands, because Red understands, obviously, being with her child is an important thing.
And if you can't get that they're connected, every time he sees Agnes, I don't know what to say. I really just don't know what to say. I mean, why would you spend that much time with the kid otherwise? You know, just there's no reason. Well, there's, unless, you know, you're on a list somewhere, I guess. But
right.
All right, so Aisa is very proud of Demi now, finally, and he's very happy about Michael, and she asks him if that's true, and he gets out of that one really smooth. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's move on to a different conversation. All right, wrestler, most annoying friend ever. He keeps asking and prying about this lady. I wanted to punch him, and I'm not even Dembe. So you can tell he's a very private guy, and he's just like, let's move on, and Rush is like, hey, so what happened with this lady, huh? This is Isabel's mother. Is there anything going on when you guys want to hook up? Did you maybe want to lean over that suitcase, huh, and go in for it? He's that kind of guy, apparently.
He's also the kind of guy that's like, hey, if you're not going back there, can you make an introduction?
Yeah, right. I'm open. Let's go for a ride. You don't mind a little Eskimo brothers, do you? Oh, sorry. All right, Cooper. Cooper says he leaves Agnes alone while she's sick, and Red sneaks right in. And my big question, where's Charlene?
Yeah.
Does she live there still?
did they get back together but agree to live in separate houses? Like, I don't understand. Where is she living?
At the
woman?
Neighbor's house? What's going on? She's next door?
Super involved with his all cover up last season and everything, and then she just disappears.
She must work a lot.
A lot.
A lot. Well, Cooper heads to Chicago to see an old friend about this Congressman Andrew Hudson, who's on Task Force 836, which is our task force. And when he finds that, he'll let the whole world know. So this is definitely something that's coming up. What do you think about this whole development? I feel like we're getting somewhat either an end game or the next section of story.
Yeah, I think this is something that's going to lead to some kind of exposure. And then I'm sure the exposure will basically get squashed, and then we'll be into the last couple episodes.
This guy seems
denouement, if you will.
This guy seems like an honorable man. I think what's going to happen is he's going to open this up, and it's going to, even though they took care of Wu Jing, somehow this whole task force is going to be exposed, and it's going to be a red on the run kind of thing. Like, he won't be able to just come and go as easily as he does currently.
Yeah, or he's going to have to go back into hiding or something in order to flee. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be like a parting of ways, if you will. And that's why Wrestler's the last person standing at the end. It's like, hey, Wrestler, remember when you were chasing me for 5 years?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, there
is. Let's start that game again.
And I think that's probably what's going to happen, because you got to remember, he's investigating it now. And guess what they don't have on file anymore? The immunity agreement.
Right.
So, and they've pointed that out multiple times. Trust me, it's going to be on a previously on. Yeah. That's going to come up at some point. So you've got a task force devoted to this, but there's no immunity agreement. Lock him up, or we're going to start a whole congressional panel on it or something along those lines.
Yeah. If they can find him.
Mm-hmm. And just remember, this show has to end one of three ways. Either Red goes to jail, Red gets away, Red dies. Those are the only three options. I mean, you can add a lot of specifics to those, but those are really the only three ways it goes.
I guess time travel going back in time would go into the getting away part. I was trying to think if there was a fourth or a fifth.
Sure. Time travel. He hops in a DeLorean. He goes back 88 miles an hour. He goes to the day that Liz gets killed and still messes that up.
You found out he actually ends up being the shooter or something.
Because fate is inevitable.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Everything that has happened will happen. You cannot change the past.
It's just a matter of what will happen with Agnes. You know, like, what happens to Agnes? Does she stay with Cooper? Does she go with Red? Does she, you know, what happens with her? Do we get a flash forward of Red being a very, very old person, and Agnes shows up, or what? Like, as a woman, and now she works for the FBI, for CIA, or something?
No, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't really like when we flash forwards.
I don't
like
either.
To put the pieces together myself.
Although it worked out really well in Million Little Things. They did a flash forward for the last act 5, yeah. Act 6, or whatever.
I looked that up. That was pretty good.
It was good.
Red. So his character, he brings some ice cream and movies to Agnes. God bless him. I bet you there are some 16 candles in there. Huh? I bet there was for this episode. I gifted one house, sold 4, etc. So he's got rid of all his houses. We get some information as to why he's been living like this nomad lifestyle. Letting go more and more to better hold on to what I want and still be light on my feet. So what do you think about that? Now we have an idea of why he's doing what he's doing, why he's doing this insanity where he's basically putting his life on the line a lot easier these days.
Yeah, he basically feels like he's still running the blacklist, but it's more in a supervisory stance rather than an active stance, just so that he can focus more on the things that are important to him, mainly Agnes.
Mm-hmm. So Dembe reaches out to help reaches out for help. And that night in, was it Marsal or Marseille?
Marseille, yeah.
Marseille, thank you. Is in the past. And the past and the present aren't as neatly divided as we might like.
It was an interesting line.
You think there's more coming with that?
Yeah, it seemed like that was like a, what do you want to call it? Like a retrospective on how Liz died, but it's also a future tense of like how Liz's past is going to come back to haunt Red in the future. There was something to that line specifically that kind of just like, oh, I haven't heard like one of those poignant conversations in a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And being that Noah has actually been with the show from the beginning, like he understands that DNA of the show itself.
Yeah. He's a good writer. So I'm sure that was intentional.
Yeah.
Red saved Dembe's ex-boyfriend's life. Awkward. I would have liked to, I didn't hear it unless I missed it. I guess it's very possible. I would have liked to have heard Red go something along the lines of, I can help. Do you want me to help? It's your call. You know, something like that. Something along those
lines. That's something you would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Red kind of would too. He's like, hey, I can, you got a life straight ahead of you. If you want it, you just got to say the word. Maybe hint a little bit. Give me a little, if you want him to live, and a little, if you don't
push 9 on your keypad.
Push, there you go. If you want Michael to continue with life, push 1. If you don't, push all the other numbers.
Make my ear hurt.
I want to be clear.
Right.
Agnes says that she's looking for something that's, or that he's looking for something that's already there. That's what she tells Cooper. Before him and behind him. It's very astute for a kid who just basically makes cooking vlogs. Life or death, like Charlotte's Web. He's so soft and cuddly, like Cooper. And Charlotte's Web, we're going to come back to here at the end of the show. But he's so soft and cuddly, like Cooper, who apparently loves him. And I do like how Cooper ends the show with soft and cuddly with a question mark. I thought that was pretty funny.
Like he's like, son of a bitch. The hell you call him soft and cuddly?
So what do you think about this revelation, I guess, that Cooper loves Red? Surprised by it or not really at all?
No, because everybody seems to love Red when we get to a point of like, we should be so furious and frustrated with him. And then we just like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's okay.
Everybody but Wrestler.
Everybody but Wrestler.
Yeah. I have no doubt where Wrestler stands.
Why don't we just take the Charlotte's Web thing now?
Okay.
Since it was here. So this is from Wikipedia. Death is a major theme seen throughout Charlotte's Web and is brought forth by that of the spider Charlotte. According to Norton D. Kinghorn, Charlotte's Web acts as a barrier that separates the two worlds. These worlds are that of life and death. Scholar Amy Rattell says that through Charlotte's continual killing and eating of flies throughout the novel, White makes the concept of death normal for Wilbur and for the readers. Neither Wilbur nor the rat Templeton see death as part of their lives. Templeton sees it only as something that will happen at some time in the distant future, while Wilbur views it as the end of everything.
It's intriguing. I feel like we're getting some seeds planted.
Yeah, like Red is like still maybe ill, and understands, because if Red is the one that's playing Charlotte, then clearly he knows the difference between life and death. And other people are just like, ah, Red's never going to die.
I feel like in Red's line of work, you kind of have to accept death pretty quickly.
Right.
You just, it's just a normalcy. It's just a way of life. It can happen at any time in this world. He's seen plenty of it. He's given plenty of it. It just happens.
Also, look at the big brain on Agnes.
Like, I know, right?
I didn't realize that that was what the web stood for until I read that Wikipedia entry.
I didn't either. I'm just like, it was just a cute talking spider and pig.
They said that's also the big brain on Noah, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't see that connection. Boy, I really got to go reread that book.
Yeah. My take on a whole new meaning now.
Although I got to say, man, if you go back and reread children's books you grew up with, there are so many deeper meanings to so many of them that we didn't realize when we read them the first time.
I think that's the whole point of like the books that needing to be good enough for adults also, because the adults are the ones reading them to the kids for bedtime stories. Mm-hmm. It's why Pixar movies do so well, because it's not only for the child audience, but it's also for the adult audience.
Plus it shows the writers had more going on than we just want to tell you about green eggs and ham.
Right.
Although I think those books are just about green eggs and ham. I don't know if there's a deeper meaning there. Maybe clean your room.
Yeah.
And the Cat in the Hat.
I do not like that. It.
Yep. Hey, you know what? I want to take a quick second to say thank you to all of those that are supporting us by going to Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklister, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Judy, Sharon C., Richard, Rory, Catherine, Jens, Cheryl, James, Justin, Cindy, Ryan, Johnny, Lacey Ann, Emily, Jacob, and Sharon B. are all official task force members. All of these people receive cool gifts from us. And you can get one as well for donating at the $20 level or higher. You can get a cool t-shirt or a coffee mug. You don't have to stay there forever, though. Just a few months to get those gifts.
That's right. And if you are a $5 patron, you get the podcast episode before anybody else. That's right. It airs promptly after the show. We should also mention that the show will be moving to Thursdays in a few weeks.
What?
Yep.
Why?
On the move again.
Understand why we do this. It's the final season.
Right. So podcast comes out on Mondays for patrons, Tuesday for everybody else. So that'll be moving to Fridays for patrons and probably Sunday for everybody else when we go into the summer season. So we're actually going to get two episodes that week. So May 28th in the States is when it's going to air. And then that Thursday, June 1st. Will be our first Thursday episode. So you get two blacklists in 7 days. That's amazing.
So Memorial Day week. Is that Memorial Day week?
That is Memorial Day weekend, yes.
Son of a bitch. You couldn't take the week off.
I'm like, they're moving it to the Thursday. Why couldn't we just do a 2-hour on Thursday? Bring it in with a bang.
Okay.
Must see TV. Cool. Thursday returns. Blacklist wow. For the whole thing. But that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Hit the fedora on the website or the dollar sign in your podcast app. We'd love to hear from you because we still got about 10 episodes left.
We do. And I'm hoping that we ratchet up some, I don't know, a final big bad or something. Do you want a final big bad or do you want it to be the government is the final big bad? And it's just Red fighting the government. I thought Wu Jing would lead to another big bad and it hasn't.
And there were so many more blacklisters that were still alive that he could have riled up too. Yeah. That we would have liked to
see. I thought it'd be a whole season of that.
Yeah. So I want a big bad. I really like this episode. I'd love to see this. Like, here's that thing from like 5 years ago, you know, when Wrestler was chasing Red. And like an
just
old,
filling all the holes for the rest
of
the
Yeah, like they're like some case Wrestler was, you know, finding Red and Red slipped away because of something, and then that thing now comes back again. You know, so you get to bring in some of the past by having a thing pop back up that they thought was closed, but is no longer closed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think those could be some good stories.
Could be.
And then as a result of that, obviously drives the story forward to the ultimate conclusion. Well, stay tuned. We've got Special Agent Intel coming up right after this.
You obviously love podcasts, but are you also a fan of movies and television? Do you want to listen to a show that reviews entertainment honestly and casts pretentiousness to the wind? That debates both film and TV topics in a fun, good-spirited way, while still getting to the heart of why we all love them so much. Then don't miss the award-winning weekly podcast, The Hollywood Outsider, now available on your favorite podcast app or at TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
Hey, Dembe loyals, this is Hisham Taufik. You are listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
All right, Special Agent Intel, let's move into it. Lee Crowder, just listening to this episode, he's talking about last week's, and was shocked to hear my name from last week's episode. I am enjoying the podcast, and it's going to be a part of my Blacklist fix after season 10. Starting the show over, and we'll do the same with the podcast. And guess what? You just heard your name again. What's up, Lee?
Oh, man, I couldn't even... I mean, it's been 10 years, and we've watched the show multiple times already, as it is. You know, to prep for the podcast and stuff. I couldn't imagine going back and doing it all over again.
You used to do it before every season.
I used to do it before every season. That's when I thought we were going to end at season 5. After season 6, I was like, I can't. That's too many episodes.
Yep.
But I get it. I have pretty much seasons 1 through 4 memorized.
It's a lot of TV.
It's a lot of TV.
But that's cool. I mean, those are some great seasons. So
they are.
Go enjoy.
Really good. Scamperto said, I like this episode, but then again, I love getting any insight into Red and Dembe's past.
Aww.
So long ago, Red saved Dembe. Dembe then put Raymond and his needs first, even over the love of his life. Until Raymond abandoned Dembe, then Dembe put his own needs first and chose the FBI. I feel tonight was an important step toward healing the rift between Raymond and Dembe. Harold is a far, far better surrogate than Sam ever was. Agnes is a happy, well-adjusted kid who simply wants all her loved ones to love each other. Love finally won out for this, Rostova. Oh, although she wouldn't really be a Rostova because technically it was Keen.
Oh, God. But thankfully, Keen's dead. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's Rostova because Rostova's still alive, I think. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I got to say that's pinpoint accurate right there. That is pinpoint accuracy, because the idea that Red could take Agnes and go give her life, wrong. I don't think that's the right answer. She seems very well adjusted, very happy with Cooper. That's, and what does he call her? Honey bun?
Yeah.
What he calls her? Okay. Weird nickname, but hey, everybody's got weird nicknames. Very loving, very charming, very sweet relationship. I don't think she... You know, where I didn't understand why in God's green earth we would put her with Cooper for this show, I think it's a perfect fit now. So don't take her away from Cooper.
And speaking of green, Mint Chip Cooper, my favorite too.
This is probably my least favorite ice cream, and I love ice cream.
Least favorite is Mint Chip?
I mean, in terms of like the basic flavors, yeah. I'm just not a big... I like chocolate chip more. I like Neapolitan more.
Neapolitan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you like 50 or something?
I prefer ice cream without things in it. I don't like, you know, that, to me, that's a flurry. You know, I don't want stuff in my ice cream. I just want ice cream in my ice cream. I prefer just flavors.
Oh, well,
You know, you can get it like a cheesecake, but without cheesecake chunks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like things in my ice cream. I just want ice cream.
Oh, man. Then you're missing out. The Door County cherry. Mmm. Delicious.
Hey, I love ice cream. There's a local place I go to all the time, and they have a lot of flavors with stuff in it, and I get them all the time. It's just Mint Chip is probably, I just never get it. I don't like mint.
Mm.
I'm not a mint guy.
It's the best.
I'm knocking it.
It's the best.
I hope you enjoy it.
Especially with mint Oreos on top. Oh.
No, you're turning me off more. Like, that's just more stuff. Oh, my God. Just go get a flurry. Is that what they call it? Or a blizzard. Go get a blizzard. Whatever they're called.
Yeah. Flurry of McDonald's. Adis. Blizzard,
yep.
Dairy Queen, yeah.
Adis, pretty pointless episode if you ask me. Wasn't bad to fill in some gaps in Dembe's past, but we didn't need this. Barely any movement on the Hudson side. Hope this picks up next week. The congressman going after the FBI storyline is clearly ripped out of recent headlines. Yeah, I would agree with that. Very little Red today, but that was a nice little scene with Agnes making Harold admit that he somewhat loves Red. Please let next week be a better episode. Okay, I get what you're saying about the overall story not moving forward. On the same token, I thought this was a very good episode. I really enjoyed it through and through.
Yeah, if you would have picked this up and threw it in like any other mid-season that's not season 10, it's probably like a 8.5, 9 out of 10 on this one.
It was really, really a good story.
Really, really good story.
Just didn't think it deserved a number. That's all. I'm like, I don't think he deserved a number. But on the same token, I enjoyed it. I love Hisham. You give him more story, I'm happy.
Well, and I think it's because the two no-numbered episodes we've had this season with the Dockery Fair and the Man in the Hat were kind of like, really?
Yeah, those were clunkers.
Really?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, this one should have. Yeah, I think this one should have been a no-numbered episode. Comparing it to those two, this would have been a better choice.
And I got to tell you, I still think both pairs of actors had a lot of chemistry. A
lot of chemistry.
I was waiting for everybody to make out in this one. Everybody, just make out.
Just do it. Do it.
All right.
Do it all night long.
Easy. Still NBC. All right, well, that's going to conclude this discussion. Now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, or your neighbor. And when you do, please also recommend they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at blacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
For more great Aaron Troy hijinks, follow us on your favorite social media outlets. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. He's at Aaron Smirks. Together we are at The Blacklist GSM. And you can follow us over at Buy Popcorn for our other podcast we do, The Hollywood Outsider. So make sure you check that out. We got our summer TV movie preview. Since you're going to be watching TV for The Blacklist this summer, you're going to want to check out that episode to see what else you should be checking out, like Citadel over on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's coming out next week, I think. I
don't remember. Maybe the premiere dropped already?
No, I mean the TV preview. Oh, the TV preview is next week, I think, and movie preview is already out.
Yeah. So if you want to know what to do this summer, definitely check out thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Yeah, we're going to have an episode all on profanity, too.
Yep.
Just about swearing. In movies and TV.
It's going to be the South Park episode with the little counter in the corner.
It is. Or Team America. America, bleep, yeah. All right. Well, big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. Who would you take out? Who would you choose? Your best friend or your partner?
Well, go with. Maybe not kill. Because some people can take out.
Sorry. Did I phrase that question wrong?
I'm so done with this relationship.
All right, let me reword it correctly. If you're in Dembe's shoes, would you choose your best friend over your partner? There you go. Don't take anybody out. Would you choose them over your partner? Because there's probably too many people out there going, well, I don't really want to go to court over this one.
Not really. We're jail.
So there you go. Would you choose your best friend over your partner?
All right. We'll see you next week. And maybe Sia will show up too.
Maybe she'll walk by, hand Herbie something, walk on out. And then he can say, see ya!
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.
I'm out. I can't top that.